Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
Welcome to Football is Family, a podcast dedicated to the fan and fan experience. My name is Jeremy McFarland, and I want to look at the positives behind what makes football so enjoyable to watch and follow. I want to know why you are a fan of your team, of a player, or an era of football. Whether the pros, college, or high school, I want to hear and share your stories and your love for the game. If you want to be part of this podcast, please message me on Twitter at Jeremy_McFarland or on Facebook at the Football is Family Facebook page.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
And we'd like to welcome everybody back to the Football is Family podcast. And I've got a couple of guests here that I'm going to let them introduce you. They're part of the family here at the Football is Family podcast. But before I do that, as I have mentioned in the past, one of the things about my life in particular and my family's life is that mental health is an important aspect, not only to the McFarland's well-being, but I believe to everybody else's well-being. And this month is Mental Health Awareness Month. So I wanted to throw out a number that I want to let y'all know. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline or Hotline, it's 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. The big thing is, folks, you're not alone in what you're doing in your life. You're not alone. You may feel alone, but you're not. There are great men and women who are listening and willing to help you at any time. So if you feel at all concerned about your well-being, or you know somebody who is, call that number. Talk to people who are trained to help. You are not alone. Just keep that in mind. We do want to help. But today, I've got a couple guys on. Would you like to introduce yourself to this family again?
Oh, absolutely. My name is Asherati. I'm one half of the Talking Two Tone podcast. And just to reiterate that point, mental health is something that absolutely needs to be a forefront and making progress in this country. And I feel like it is being brought to light more and more as we're moving towards a more socially acceptable and progressive society. And I cannot agree more with the fact that everybody, you're not alone out there in any kind of battle you've got in your own head or, you know, in your day to day. Somebody out there loves somebody, and everybody out there loves somebody. So if you're ever in need of any kind of mental health aid or assistance or just someone to talk to, please don't hesitate to reach out, make an effort. Everybody's got someone out there that loves them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm Tyler Whipple. I'm the other half of the Talking Two Tone podcast, as Asher said. And just to reiterate what you guys was talking about on the Mental Health Awareness Month here, there's so many months out there that's giving away to things. And nowadays, it seems like every month's some kind of little deal. But I would say this should be at the forefront of things. Like Asher said, everybody loves somebody and everybody's loved by somebody universally, pretty much. So if there is people out there struggling, they should take advantage of the opportunities in front of them to talk to somebody. And, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you know me, or if you don't know me, you can reach to me and, you know, we can try to talk you through it, you know. So
it's a big sale. Yeah, absolutely. We'll have their Twitter handles, if that's okay, fellas, on the show notes. And they, like I, are willing to listen. Now, I've had them on before, and I'm going to have them on many, many more times if they're still willing to do that. And we talk Titan stuff, and y'all know exactly where I stand on that. I'm not at all happy with the rankings I see the Titans are on this year. I'm not at all happy with that, but it doesn't surprise me. But that being said, we're not necessarily going to talk Titans tonight. Sort of. I have these guys on to talk the recent NFL draft. What we're going to do is I'm going to get Asher and Tyler's opinion on the draft this year, the overall opinion. We're going to look at some picks. And yes, the Titans are going to be up there because they may have done the biggest boneheaded move of the year so far, maybe. But we'll get to that. Just y'all's opinion of the draft this year. Just taking a hundred mile view of it. What do y'all think so far? Just looking at the draft in general. Winners and
Winners and losers of the draft. Golly, that's so tricky because that's a very subjective, two very subjective categories from a slightly biased fan's perspective. I'm going to say that the biggest winner of this draft, I don't want to say it, but I really think the Baltimore Ravens got a lot better. I don't like them. They're becoming kind of the old rivalry of you know, the Eddie George and Aaron McNair kind of days, but they got some quality picks, and they got their defense is going to be nasty. I got to say, I think the biggest loser of the draft is the Green Bay Packers. Just in terms of, you know, what they gave up before the draft. So they signed Aaron Rodgers to that $500 million contract, which, you know, he's worth it. Well, I don't know if anybody's worth $500 million, but in terms of quarterback play, he is the best in the game right now. Two MVP seasons, but they lost Davante Adams, who is, in my opinion, one of four, maybe three irreplaceable players in the NFL in terms of what they can do for their team. And not to mention, with their first two picks in the first round, they did not take a single wide receiver, not one. They took the guy out of North Dakota State, and Tyler knows just how I feel about taking players from North Dakota State. I don't think it does not pan out well. It doesn't pan out with too immediate success, which they need. I got to say the Packers are the biggest loser in this draft in terms of losing Davante Adams, not getting a wide receiver to replace him of starting capability immediately. Biggest winner, Ravens.
The Ravens picked up. Now, just the first round, I've got the list here, but just the first round, Kyle Hamilton, who is going to ball out, and Tyler Lindenbaum, which most people think, well, offensive line won't get a lot of attention. But the thing is, if you don't hear a name of an offensive lineman, that means they're doing their job.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Tyler, center from Iowa, he's going to be an all-pro in 5 years.
I mean, yeah.
Take that to the bank.
Gosh, that's just two. That's just their two guys. What about you, Tyler? What do you think?
If I had to pick a winner and a loser, I honestly would stick, and that's, you know, Asher is picking back off what he said, the being biased. I would pick the Titans class just about with anybody, but if I'm not going to talk about the Titans, my winners, I would take the New York Jets. I think they had a really, really good draft. I think they picked up about four or five starters that are going to be immediate impact players on their team. I really like the direction they're going in, and it all really depends on if Zach Wilson can play. If he can play, they've got a pretty solid roster, and they got young guys, some good veterans. So I really like the direction the Jets are headed in. I think Joe Douglas is an up and coming GM up there, so I like how they drafted. The biggest loser, I would say, through the whole draft process, would probably be the Seattle Seahawks, in my opinion. I just think Pete Carroll has lost a lot of touch and evaluating players and what his roster is at the moment. They didn't pick any players that could really make any kind of splashy plays or really any impact players. I know they're trying to rebuild them offensive and defensive line on both sides and get back to running the football and being smash mouth. But I think the Seahawks are 3 years away at least. Three good drafts and three good free agency periods away from being a good team. And I think we're going to see just how valuable Russell Wilson was to that franchise this year, because they're going to be really bad. So I would go with Jets and Seahawks.
Look at the Jets' first-round picks and tell me if they did not hit this out of the ballpark. Sauce Gardner,
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Immediately insane. Top 15 corner, I would say.
Exactly. Garrett Wilson is solid. Solid. I watched him play a little bit. He's solid. But this right here, their number 26 pick, Jermaine Johnson II, was a steal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just yeah. a steal. I had him going in the first 10 picks.
He was a baller at Florida State. He was an absolute monster.
Just overlooked because he played on that bad Florida State team.
And he played on that really loaded Georgia team. Couldn't touch the field. Which right. I'm going to go ahead and say something right now. And, you know, I know we're not supposed to be talking Titans, but I can't.
Oh, no, talk Titans.
We had an incredible draft. All right. In terms of what happened, I was in Las Vegas.
About 5 minutes, but yeah, let's go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't hold it in. I was in Las Vegas for the draft. And when the AJ Brown news hit, I wasn't planning on going to the getting down to the stage area until the 26th pick. When we traded AJ Brown, I literally went out into the hallway of the hotel and just laid down. I was like, oh my gosh, because at that point there was a massive run on wide receivers. I think there were four wide receivers off the board at that point, three or four. Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, and Jameson Williams. Yeah, so Treylon Burks was the fifth wide receiver off the board. He was my number two, 1A, 1B, however you want to hold it. Yeah. But that was in addition to A.J. Brown, not in spite of A.J. Brown. So that kind of hurt, stung. And I was like, and, you know, I like to dabble a little bit in, you know, drinking socially. And so when we traded A.J. Brown, I grabbed the beverage and I said, if we don't take a wide receiver with this pick, if we take an offensive lineman, I'm going to finish this whole drink in 10 seconds. If we do take a wide receiver, I'm going to drink 5 seconds of this drink. And we took a wide receiver, so luckily the rest of the night went well. but I love trading 26. Tyler and I talked about this. We were back and forth on this on our podcast, probably 5 weeks in a row, 5 podcasts in a row, what we think we were going to do at 26. And ultimately, we traded back because we got a wide receiver. And then we added incredible depth to the defensive backfield. Roger McCreary is an insurance piece and could potentially start for most any other team in the NFL. He is a press man. He is a press guy. He will get up on that line, on the line of scrimmage, and he will beat you down. I watched him play against Alabama, and he was a problem with those wide receivers. Well, Jameson got ejected for targeting, but he was a problem for John Metchie. And so then, you know, we take him. I'm like, all right, okay. I see what John Robinson's doing here. So then we get 26 and we pick up an additional third. Then we take an offensive line. I'm like, all right, the Ohio State guy, he could play. I think he was from Ohio State. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Petite Fierce, yeah. Ohio State.
Yeah. And then I'm like, all right. I can rock with this. And then the biggest stumper of the whole draft is, how did Malik Willis fall to 87? People have him at 6, and I was like, okay, all right, at 87, I'm okay with that. 26, no. But then we got the tight end, Chiggs, out of Maryland. I'm going to call him Chiggs. And I think he's going to be a Jonnu Smith, running a 4.440 for a tight end, which is unheard of. And then we got who I think in the fifth round, who might be the biggest steal, and Tyler and I both agree on this, might be the biggest steal of this draft, and Kyle Phillips out of UCLA. He reminds me of a perfect hybrid between Hunter Renfrow, and his floor is Hunter Renfrow, in my opinion. His ceiling is Cooper Kupp. And then the rest of the draft, you know, you got the linebacker Campbell from Ole Miss, who's going to be a special teams ace.
Theo Jackson, balls, stand up.
Theo Jackson, baby, Dan Cruikshank roll. He's going to be a monster. And you know, Tennessee's defense is never going to be the problem this year. It's going to be, how can the offense be creative enough to not have a loaded box against Derrick Henry? That's what the problem is going to be. But yeah, so I love the Titans draft. I think from a less biased standpoint, I think we might have had the second or third best draft because of the loss of AJ Brown. If we had taken Treylon Burks, traded up to get him, and then kept AJ Brown, I'd put us at one, because that would be a nasty three-headed monster of wide receivers: Robert Woods, AJ Brown, and Treylon Burks.
You know what I think was a benefit for us, and I'm not downgrading Trayvon Walker, but can you imagine having Aiden Hutchinson on the other side going after Ryan Tannehill two times a year?
Yeah.
I picked Jacksonville picking Aiden Hutchinson, and I'm kind of glad Detroit picked him up.
Yeah, him Detroit and Josh Allen would have been a problem. Well, the Jacksonville and both the guys rushing on third down would have been.
I'm not saying that Trayvon Walker is going to be a dud. I think he's going to be an awesome player. I just don't think he's Aiden Hutchinson.
I agree wholeheartedly on that. That's just how the Jacksonville always reaches at number one. It seems like, other than Trevor Lawrence, which is everybody would have picked. It seems like every time Jacksonville picks in the top five, they always reach. I don't know why, but it's maybe that's why they pick every year in the top five. So
I would have taken Davis Mills at number one.
Yeah.
What do you come back? You just think about the draft. I remember the Malik Willis pick. I was at Logan's in Dixon, and I yelled out really loud, made my wife embarrassed. But, you know, it happens. It happens. It's just how that works. She's been married with me now 19 years. She should know how it rolls. What do you think about the draft this year? Do you think it was as stacked as years previous?
I think this draft was loaded in the wide receiver area and – offense on the defensive line. It was a really good draft in those perspectives, but there wasn't a lot of star power in this draft. That's what we're looking for. It was a little underwhelming of players. When you have like a third round pick, and a lot of people had Malik Willis in the third round going into the draft, and you know, every time the combine comes around and the draft starts, these quarterbacks start getting over-evaluated and they get shot up the board, and a lot of people. And there just weren't any quarterbacks this year that was just flat out ready. And I think that took the pulse of the draft down a little bit. Kenny Pickett was the most ready for this year. He had the most experience, and he went to a place where he can really, you know, be Kenny Pickett. If the small hands doesn't really bother him, I think he can be a good player. I think we ultimately ended up with the best quarterback, but I think that's a lot of the problem with the draft this year, and what people are saying, it was kind of boring because it was more of a wide receiver and trenches class. There wasn't any of the star players that you're accustomed to seeing every year. Like last year, we had three quarterbacks taken in the first three picks. So, of course, it was more, you know, fun to watch. So I think that's a lot of it.
Do you think if a quarterback needy team was first overall, because Jacksonville wasn't going to take a quarterback, would they have reached for Kenny Pickett?
Yes. I don't think so. I don't think so. Because the draft, there was quarterback needed teams. And maybe Jacksonville would have because they're Jacksonville. Maybe I could agree with Asher on that. But Carolina was at six, and they didn't take a quarterback. And they needed a quarterback, you know.
All right. So let's look at it. Jacksonville wouldn't have done it. Detroit, do you trust Jonathan Goff?
I trust him. He played pretty well for them last year.
He's been to a Super Bowl. So, I mean,
all right.
Jared Goff isn't a slouch.
No, he's not.
For a year.
Do you trust Davis Mills?
I say you roll the dice. Yeah.
I think so, too.
Who's you got there?
Yeah, yeah. New York Jets weren't going. New York Giants. Now, I do not knock the Kayvon Thibodeau pick. I think that surprised me that he dropped that far. But would you trust, you know, Danny Dimes?
No, that's right. That's where I have the. If there was a better, if there was another quarterback hungry team, like let's say Pittsburgh, right? That they felt comfortable once Carolina at six didn't take Kenny Pickett. That they felt that the back half of that draft was not going to leverage a quarterback against them, if that makes sense, because the draft is a chess game. You know, you never know what another team is going to do. So you rush, you reach, you take your best player on your best board. I feel like, so let's say Pittsburgh is in the top 10 for whatever reason, a nice little hypothetical. And then we say that Carolina is at six, and let's say Pittsburgh is at 10. All right. Pittsburgh now knows, we now, with the information we now know, that they wanted Kenny Pickett. It just made too much sense. So let's say we know that now. And let's say they have no idea what Carolina's going to do because everybody thought Carolina was going to take a quarterback. Everybody thought it. I thought it. Everybody. They did not do it. And then, so let's say Pittsburgh's at 10, Carolina's at 6. Pittsburgh might trade up, and they might leverage their entire franchise on taking the quarterback. I would not do it. I think this quarterback class is one of the worst in recent memory. I think this is just almost as bad as the Jamarcus Russell class. That was Brady Quinn's year. Next year is going to be an absolute. I think this year, the best way to describe this draft class is a setup for next year's quarterbacks. Like teams that didn't take a quarterback this year that you thought might maybe could, like Detroit. If Bryce Young is sitting at 2 and CJ Stroud is sitting at, if CJ Stroud and Bryce Young are both on the board at 1 and 2, and you got Jacksonville and you got Detroit at 2, Detroit's trading up to 1 to take that pick. And they're gonna leverage everything to take whichever quarterback they have. And then let's say Carolina's at 6, they're gonna leverage everything they can to try to leapfrog Detroit. I just think this class was extremely weak. We saw people mocking Malik Willis at 6, and he fell to 87. So I think this class has potential down the road. Like Malik Willis, for everybody out there, Malik Willis is not going to start this year. He's probably not even going to be the quarterback 2 week 1. If you think about that, Logan Woodside will be quarterback number 2 week 1. And I would put a large sum of money if I were a gambling man on that. Malik Willis is the future, but the future is Ryan Tannehill for 2 more years is what we have as a present. But this quarterback class is terrible. One of the worst I've ever seen.
What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of this is subjective. There's been a lot of classes that's supposed to be really good and really bad. Like the Josh Allen class was supposed to be a really bad class. Look at it. It produced Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in the first round. Yeah. So, I mean, you can never tell and Mahomes. No, Mahomes was the year before Josh Allen, I believe. But anyway, either way, I mean, Mahomes, like nobody knew Mahomes was at Texas Tech, and then look what he's done in the NFL.
So he's done anything.
Right. You can never tell really what these classes are going to be until we get them on the field. And I mean, you can look at it what their potential can be. And I think Malik Willis, me and Asher kind of put our floor and ceiling on him last week, and I've kind of compared him. I think his ceiling could be Josh Allen, and I think his floor is Dak Prescott. I think the guy is really going to develop well in Tennessee, and I think he's going to be the guy. And I think the worst he can be is Dak Prescott. So if you get a quarterback of that caliber in this class, that goes ahead and makes the class that much better. So, I mean, it is a lot of subjectiveness in all this, so it just wasn't big star name players. So, I mean, you just got to wait and see when they come on the field. I mean,
all right. So y'all are starting. I am Roger Goodell, and y'all are starting your own teams. Y'all get your own teams, one apiece. And you are the first 2 picks of this draft. Who would you pick? Let's say, Tyler, you get the first overall pick. You won the coin toss. Who would be the foundation of your new team?
I guess it depends on the team needs, or if we're starting just like a fantasy draft.
You're starting out at 0 and you have to pick somebody. And of course, Ashton, you get everybody else that you want, but you could pick any of these people it doesn't even have to be in the first round. You can go back and pick a steal from the 7th round. But who would you start your team with?
Well, I think this might be the boring answer, but I think the only player in this draft I think has like 0 bust potential, and I could be wrong. This is just my opinion. I think with you speaking earlier, it was Aiden Hutchinson. He played in a big time conference and in the Big Ten. I mean, that's the second best conference in the nation, and he had like at least a sack a game, and he just kind of dominated all kinds of right tackles. He played good for left tackles, and he played good against Georgia. And I mean, if you're playing against Georgia and they had 15 players get drafted, I mean, that's a lot of NFL players. He's still one of the better players on the field. I would have went ahead and picked Aiden Hutchinson out of this class because I think I'm picking a fantasy team. I'm picking best available regardless. All right. And we can get our quarterback later on. I would pick Aiden Hutchinson. I think he's the best player.
All right, Ashley, you can't pick Aiden Hutchinson. Who would you pick?
I would trade the pick, and then I would take Will Anderson next year. 1. I would trade the pick, take Will Anderson. Nah, but yeah, that's what I would do. Or Bryce Young. But
watch Bryce Young this year. Just watch him ball out. I'm just saying he is going to light the world on fire.
Will Anderson was better than Aiden Hutchinson. Will Anderson is better than Aiden Hutchinson is right now. And he was better than him last year. And I will take that to the bank. If I'm building an NFL team, this isn't a fantasy perspective here. Oh, man, I'm taking Evan Neal because I think left tackle.
Cornerstone.
You put him left tackle.
Put him at left tackle, and I wouldn't worry about it for 10 years.
Look at the Giants and what they did the first five to seven. The Giants did themselves a service. And I'm telling you what, the Giants have not done themselves a service for about 5 years, but this year they did well for those two picks. Now, let's do a couple more questions here, and I'll let y'all go. Thank y'all for coming on today.
Absolutely.
Go back in your memory here, and let's go past the third round. Let's go into the fourth round and further. Do you have a player that's going to surprise some people that you can think of off the top of your head?
I've got one of them that we have. I've got another one who I think can win a starting job. And I've got another one who can contribute immediately to the team.
Okay.
If I'm not going to be a homer, if we're not going to choose Kyle Phillips here for the Titans, I'm going to take Brian Robinson to the Washington Commanders.
Good one.
They took him in the fourth round, I believe, third or fourth round. I think he's going to be a baller for them. I think, you give him 8-10 carries a game, he'll get you 6 yards, five to six yards a carry. He's going to surprise a couple of people. Other than that, gosh, there's just so many. The tight end from Maryland that we picked up, Chiga, I think he's going to be a baller. But yeah, I'm taking Brian Robinson on that pick. Maybe Christopher Allen.
If I had to pick one player, and this is, we talk about being homers, y'all know I'm well acquainted with the Vols. Alante Taylor could end up being one of the best picks out in that draft for the Saints. I think he's a day one starter for those guys, and I really, if you want to get him a comp, look at Kevin Byard, because he fits the Kevin Byard mentality and role on the Tennessee team last year. The defense is underachieving, but Theo Jackson and Alante Taylor were absolute studs on that defense. Alante Taylor had a big pick six to beat Kentucky, which was a good team this year. I really think he's going to be a standout for the Saints. But that's the key player I can think of right off the top of my head, and that's really because I'm a Vol at heart. So, but I would go Alante Taylor.
Well, fellas, I didn't realize that I have a time limit now on Zoom. They're starting to do that apparently, and I don't know if you can see it up there at the top. So hey, Zoom, I'm giving you a shout out here. Upgrade me to Pro, please. If you were to look at it, give me a sleeper, and then we'll have to finish with this. Give me a sleeper Super Bowl pick this year. Sleeper Super Bowl team. Under the radar.
Gosh.
If I had to pick one, and I think a lot of it is, then I won't know if they're really considered a sleeper at this point because they made the NFC Championship game last year. I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. I think their draft was decent. It wasn't great, but they have all the tools in place. As long as they stay healthy and they've got a good coaching staff there that's been known to make deep runs in the playoffs, even if it's Trey Lance or Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy Garoppolo shows you he can get to the Super Bowl. So I think the 49ers would be a sneaky good pick to go gamble on if that's what you want to do with it.
We don't push gambling. It's a recreation thing. You do what you do. But go ahead.
Sleeper Super Bowl pick. I don't know if it has to be a pick or a team. I'm picking the Rams to go back to back. If that counts. If I had to pick a different team to make the Super Bowl, I think the Ravens. This might be the Ravens' year based off their draft. Their draft is
the Rams are leveraging 5 years down the road. They're going to tank in a couple of years, but until then, they're going to get some rings.
The AFC could be – it could be a random team come by the AFC. It's so stacked this year. It is so stacked this year. There's so many good teams. I mean, I can see Denver. I can see Kansas City. I can see the Bengals again. I can see the Ravens. I can see the Titans. I mean, there's just so many good teams in the AFC. It's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, any of those teams could go out of the AFC.
Yeah. Well, fellas, where can we hear you?
Oh, we are all over Spotify and Apple Music. We've been on a brief hiatus, my fault. I've been traveling a bunch for leisure and for work. But we just, every week, we're going to try to get out there, get a new podcast out there. You know, some things just happen that you can't really do anything about. But we're on Spotify, we're on Apple Music, Talking Two Tone. Tyler does a fantastic job. He's the best co-host in the business. He does the editing. He does all of that stuff because I'm incapable with computers and technology. But we call it a very thought-provoking podcast because we push your limits on what you can possibly think of. We give you so many different possibilities, but I'll let Tyler talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah, we enjoy doing what we're doing. We're just two guys that love the Titans talking ball, you know. And like Asher said, we want to bring up some subjects that maybe you wouldn't think about as a Titan fan. And, you know, we are pushing the Titans, but we do talk a lot about the AFC South and AFC in general. So, I mean, we're kind of broad in it, but we are Titans fans at heart. And, you know, if you want to come along for the ride, come on, man. Just get on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and listen in and come talk with us. Because we always invite all our fans to come on and talk with us. I mean, that's how we met Jeremy.
All else fails, you got to tighten up.
Tighten up.
You got to tighten up. Thank you, fellas. Thank you for coming on, and we'll have you back on before the season comes up if you're available.
Absolutely. Yes, sir. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank y'all for listening.
This podcast is sponsored by Play Classic Sports Simulation Board Games, spelled with two A's, PLAAY. Realistic board game recreations of professional football, hockey, baseball, NASCAR, golf, and more. They cover 9 sports in all, with a 10th, basketball, coming in 2022. You can relive great sessions of the past, create what-if matchups from different eras, and much more. It's fun. So if you're into sports history, you should check them out. That's Play with two A's, PLAAY, classic.com. And don't forget to use the code SHN at checkout and get 10% off your first order.
Hey, are you ready for some football? Some fantasy football? How about some daily fantasy football? Silly questions, right? Of course you are. You're ready to talk some smack and win some cash every Sunday and Thursday and Monday and whenever there's football games. The Sports History Network invites you to play your daily fantasy football this season at ThriveFantasy.com. Thrive Fantasy offers hundreds of thousands, millions in cash every day on NBA, MLB, PGA, golf, cricket, esports, and of course, NFL football. And just to get the 2021 NFL season started right, Thrive Fantasy is holding its $100,000 guaranteed contest with a $20,000 first prize. Sign up with Thrive Fantasy today to get a 100% match bonus on your first deposit for up to $100 in free daily fantasy football play. Visit sportshistorynetwork.com/thrive. That's THRIVE. Or enter promo code SHN when depositing at the cashier. Join Thrive Fantasy today, earn cash prizes, and support great shows like this at the Sports History Network. Now that's a win-win-win situation for you to kick off your own NFL season.
All At the Sports History Network, we're all about sports yesteryear, and so we're so pleased to introduce you to Row One, an online memorabilia gallery and shop that brings your sports history to life anywhere. The Row One gallery includes over 5,200 gorgeously reproduced prints of team posters, game program covers, game tickets, advertisements, and more in baseball, pro and college football, pro and college basketball, and more. And any gallery item may be printed in a variety of sizes on wood, metal, canvas, acrylic, or poster paper. And in Row One shop, check out the thousands more of unique items with a retro and historical designs dating back to 1876, including t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, phone cases, mugs, blankets, pillows, towels, and even shower curtains. Go to sportshistorynetwork.com, ROW number one, for access to the full Row One catalog and for gallery prints and gift items. Plus get a 15% discount off all prints on the Row One Pictorum Gallery with coupon code SHN15. Follow the link on the show notes.
Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
The Pigskin Tales podcast is all about the lesser-known pro football players. Yes, there are stories about the ones we know, like Brad Tarkenton and Harold Red Grange. But have you ever heard of Ernie Nevers? How about Dave Osborne or even Grady Alderman? These men created their own path to the NFL. How did they do it? Listen to the Pigskin Tales podcast, now streaming on your favorite music platform. Go to pigskintales.com.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.